Do you know that you have a promise in Jesus Christ? And that nothing, nothing compares to that promise. Nothing. How about a round of applause for our praise team? Not that they seek recognition or accolades, but they're a great gift of God, and we can certainly be thankful to the Lord. Wow. Wow. I was talking with our prayer group this morning, and it's about to get busy around here. The ones that are planning the stuff have already been busy, and it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. It's a good kind of crazy. It's a good kind of crazy. It means we got a lot of things going on. I did challenge our prayer group this morning, though, that just because we've got a lot of things going on doesn't mean we need to still prepare spiritually. That when Jesus was walking on the earth and teaching and healing and performing miracles, a lot of times those were in a crowded setting, a lot of activity, a lot of things going on. But he also made plenty of times when he said, "I'm stepping away for a minute, I'll be back." And he would go away to a secluded place and pray. He had to take care of himself spiritually beforehand. And I want to challenge us and recommend to us that, you know, we need to be doing the same. That before the activities just become activity if there's no spiritual preparation in that. So that's just that was free to you today. It was free. Last week we opened up a series that I'm going to be teaching on called Double V3, right? It's not a W because a W has got rounded bottoms and a double V has got sharp points. So it's Double V3. I think that's, we ought to change the name of the W in the alphabet to a double V. But in the vision for Dolan Baptist Church, the vision that the Lord has given me for us, again, a vision is when you look forward, you see a point of what it looks like, but not necessarily the details of how to get there, okay? But when I'm looking ahead, I see that we are a church that welcomes, a church that studies the Word, and a church that works. Three W's. Look at there. Even the three makes a W. Double V3. Okay. Today, we're going to talk about welcome and just what does that mean. And I want to start by telling you that welcoming someone is more than saying hi and shaking their hand. Okay, it goes way beyond that. If you have your Bibles today, turn to Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at the first 10 verses. There's a couple stories that Jesus tells. But really, the bulk of this message comes before the two stories. It comes in the first couple verses of this text. And we're going to read that text. It says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 15, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus." Now, tax collectors and sinners are almost always clumped together in the same group in the New Testament. Tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose you had one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home, then calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I will tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, you might have read that and think, now where is he going with this? How is this about welcome, being welcome? Have you ever visited a church and not felt welcome? I have. I read a story about a man who is now a pastor. At the time he was not, but he says this. He went to visit a church in an area he just moved to, and he said, "I had to drive an hour to get there. I was running late, almost couldn't find the place, but I did, and had to park pretty far away. I felt pretty awkward walking up to the church. I could hear that everyone was already singing. It was my first year of living in that area, and no one knew me. I slowly opened the big wooden door of that church and quietly stepped into the entryway. That entryway was very small, about the size of two phone booths put together. I did my best to act like I belonged there, but deep down I felt awkward. The ushers were sitting on the chairs facing forward. They were so busy singing their hymns that they didn't even notice me. I looked around, but I could see that there was no place to sit, and there weren't any hymnals, so I just stood there trying to look cool. But I really wanted to get out of there. I saw that there was a side entrance with a hallway, and maybe that would be a better place to stand. So I walked out of the church over to that side entrance and found a little hallway about the size of one phone booth between the outside door and the door leading into the worship area. I spread out my bulletin on the floor and sat on it and listened to the service, resting my head on my arms and on my knees. I decided that I would stay long enough to hear the sermon and then go home. But right when the sermon started, an older woman got up. "I'll never forget this," he says. "She walked over to me. She looked down at me, sitting on the floor, and she whispered to me that it was just too drafty in here, so she shut the door on me. And so I was left sitting out in the hallway where I couldn't hear anything, I couldn't see anything. I was shut out, so I went home." Have you ever felt unwelcomed in the church? When visitors come to our church for the first time, they probably feel more awkward than we think or know. Are we welcoming them? Or are we shutting them out? In Jesus' day, a lot of people were being shut out of church. You know, we had the synagogues and the temple, and some people couldn't go into those certain areas. You had to be the right kind of person. The Pharisees were the religious leaders, and they were in charge of the synagogues. That's where they had their church services, and that's where they read the Word of God and sung psalms and hymns. But certain people were not welcome there. Tax collectors were not welcome there. Sinners were not welcomed there. People with immoral lifestyles were not welcomed there. Only the good people, the upstanding members of society, the moral, the pious, the normal type people. Only they were welcome in the synagogues. But the Pharisees saw that Jesus treated the tax collectors a little differently. We see in the first couple of verses there. He told the Pharisees that in these first two verses, we're told that the Pharisees were saying to themselves, "This man welcomes sinners and tax collectors, and he even eats with them. Why is he doing that?" they probably asked. "What's going on? Why? How can this dude who says he's a teacher of the law and teacher of the scriptures, how can he stoop so low as to associate with such kind of people?" Well, Jesus knew what they were thinking. And so he went on to tell them these two short stories, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. 100 sheep. One of them gets lost, and what does the shepherd do? He goes and he searches for that lost one. When he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders, he takes it home, and he throws a big party. The same thing happened with the woman who found the coin. She lit her lamp, got her broom out, started sweeping, and searched until she found that lost coin, that one lost coin. And when she found it, she gathered her friends and neighbors, and she celebrated. The main point that Jesus was making through these two stories is this. he is doing mission work. That's why he's welcoming the tax collectors and the sinners. They are the lost sheep, the lost coins. Jesus was welcoming them because he loved them. And even if just one would repent, just one, there would be a great rejoicing among the angels in heaven. Do we have the same approach as Jesus does as far as mission work? Do we see missions as going to a faraway place, doing some work, and then coming back home? Or do we see mission work as our everyday lives? Are we out there with the sinners of today's society, talking with them, listening to them, looking for a way to share the Word of God with them? Are we a people who welcomes sinners? Sometimes I think we're like those Pharisees. We're selective in who we'd like to come to our church. If you're a good person, if you've got your act all together, then come on in. But if you have problems, if you're struggling with some different types of sin in your life, we would rather you just stay away until you get straightened up and then come. But that is completely opposite of what Jesus does. Jesus says, you come as you are. You can't stay that way, but you come just as you are. Come just as you are. Should we not? If we are Christ's body, the church, the body of Christ, that's you and me. If we are that, should not we act as Jesus did? We all have sinful natures that make us think that we're better than other people sometimes, or we've got a more of a right to be in this place than some other people. Let's do the mission work. Sometimes we say that, but we think, well, we'll do that, but only to the normal folk. The normal folk who are a little bit down and out, we'll go help them. And really, that's not mission work. That's just being a Pharisee in today's time. We all have different sins in our lives, different weaknesses, different things we've said and done and thought. If only the good people were welcome in this church, your pastor wouldn't be here. Okay? The truth is, neither would you. It'd be an empty building because none of us are good. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, we can still come to Jesus time and time again and again with our sins, and our Savior forgives us. He welcomes us. He reminds us again and again that he has taken away our sins. Jesus came for the sinful person. Jesus came for me. He came to save the sinful people, to welcome the sinful people, and to bring them comfort and joy. Jesus wants to bring you comfort and joy in spite of where you are, in spite of what you've done, in spite of maybe what you're doing even now. Jesus loves you. Aren't you glad that our God is a missionary? Aren't you glad that he has sent his Son into the world to redeem the lost and dying? How is it that you became a Christian, I might ask? God did the mission work. For some, he used your parents. He brought you up in a family that loves the Lord, loves the Word of God. Well, God was behind that. For some of you, God put people in your life who influenced you to find out more, to learn more. And as you did those things and you learned and found out more, God worked on you. He didn't wait for you to become perfect. Instead, he took you as you were, a sinful person, and he forgave you, and he welcomed you into his kingdom. Aren't you glad that God doesn't say, look, I want you on my team, but I only want a really, really pretty team. So before you can come to me, you've got some things you've got to do. You've got to quit cussing. You got to quit abusing the substances. You got to quit treating your spouse that way. You got to be a better parent. You got to quit telling lies. You got to get all this stuff straightened up. And when you get all that done and you're perfect, then you can come and I'll have you. Guess what? That would leave everybody out. And he knew that. So he said this, look, let's just start from scratch. Okay? Why don't you just come to me first? Come to me first, and then we'll work on all that other stuff. And that's what Jesus says. Are we not the body of Christ? Should we not be the same way as the church? Just come. Just come. However you are, just come. And we're gonna help you understand the Word of God and allow God's Word to teach you and to train you and to mold you into what He wants you to be. Now, for others of you today, maybe you're here because someone reached out to you and you've not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, as your boss and your rescuer. I love that the way that, you know, sometimes we say the Lord and Savior, and that's churchy words, and some people really don't understand what that means. But if I tell you He's your boss and your rescuer, you know what a boss is. A boss is somebody that's above you and says, you do this, and you say, yes, sir. That's what a Lord is. That's what the boss is. And a rescuer, somebody, picture yourself in a boat in the middle of the ocean, and the waves are crashing over and filling the boat up with water, and the boat begins to sink, and you're just out there. You don't even have a life jacket. You're just kind of out there, and you know the end is coming, and you're about to be shark bait, right? And then all of a sudden, like the movie where, can't remember who it is, The Guardian, comes down, Kevin Costner, and he comes down, and he reaches out because he's attached to the pulley, you know, he's got the lifeline to the thing in the sky. See, we could make a whole sermon on that. And he reaches down, and he grabs you up out of the water, pulls you up. That's a rescue. Guess what? You were headed for hell. You were headed for eternal damnation, eternal separation from God because of the sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and you were headed there. But He reached down from His lifeline to the Father and grabs us and rescues us. That's a rescue. And if you have received Jesus Christ, you have been rescued. He is a boss and a rescuer. Follow that illustration. Aren't you glad He didn't come over the loudspeaker and say, hey, are you worth my saving? Because for me to come down there, it's going to be tough. I got to trust in all this stuff here and the rope, you know, who knows about ropes these days? Not sure where this one was made, but I think it's an American product, but I'm not sure. And if I get down there, I want to know, is it going to be worth my while to come rescue you? Do you have money? If I save you, am I going to send you back home to a family that you love and are taken care of? Tell me the story before I spend my time. Aren't you glad He didn't do that? He says, let's act first and we'll ask questions later. Oh, folks, we need to be that church. Let's act first and ask questions later. Maybe that's you today. I want you to know that Jesus welcomes you. We welcome you. He will take you just as you are. Guess what? Dolan Baptist Church will take you just as you are. But when you receive this precious gift of God, don't expect to stay the same as you are. That's the good news about God. You see, when we receive Jesus Christ, that's not all we get. Jesus said, I'm going to send you my Spirit. The Spirit of the living God is going to come and live within us. That Spirit is what empowers us to change. It empowers us. It convicts us of some of those things that we need to change from. And it helps us to become more and more like the image of Christ. You see, back in the beginning, when God made man, how did He make man? He said He created him in His own image. God is still creating people into His own image, and He uses His own Spirit to do that. We're not an organization that's here for perfect people. I've heard it said one time, the church is not a showcase for the saints. It's a hospital for the sinners. It's a hospital for the sick. It's a hospital. It's a place to come and get better. It's a place to come and get well. It's a place to come and get healed. It's a place to come and receive those things that we can't get on our own. It's not a place where people get together and act churchy. And then they think about how great they are, and then everybody goes back home. The purpose of the church is to welcome sinners, to welcome those who are lost. We look for those lost sheep and those lost coins. And those lost sheep and coins are going to be sinful. I challenged you years ago. Are we ready as a church for whoever it is that walks through that door? We better be. We need to be. God has called us to be for whoever it is that walks through that door. We need to be a welcoming church. They're going to be sinful. They're going to be rude. They're not going to have time for you. They're going to love their money. They're going to have rough language maybe. Maybe there's alcohol or drugs or morality problems. Or maybe all of that put together. Aren't they the ones that need Jesus? They're going to say to you, well, if I ever go in there, the roof's going to cave in, or the church house is going to burn down. I heard that at a funeral I preached not too long ago. Guess what? It didn't. It didn't. And guess what else? They heard the Word of God. They heard the Word of God. If we can just bring them, just get them in, they'll hear the Word. They're gonna promise to see you on Sunday, and then they're never going to show up. Has that ever happened to anybody? You invited somebody to church. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there. You come, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and they never show. Yeah, that's going to happen. But that's who we're here for, to look for them and to welcome them. They are the lost sheep, and they belong to Christ. And He is sending you and me and everyone else out to look for them and to welcome them into the fold, back into the flock. May God bless us with hearts that loves and welcomes sinners, just as Christ loves and welcomes you. You all have people in your lives that skip church and make excuses. That's your mission field. And when a total stranger walks into the church, let's not be a church guilty of shutting the door on them, leaving them out in the foyer out there, sitting on a bulletin. Let's be the church that welcomes them. Treat them as you'd want to be treated. What a good God we have. How many of you think we have a good God? Yeah. He loves us, and He welcomed us. May we reflect that same love towards others. I remember when God welcomed me. He was always wooing me. That's an old word we don't use too much anymore. He was always calling me, always nudging me. I knew as a 4, 5, 6-year-old that I was, when I was doing something wrong, okay? On those two occasions, I can say that because Dad's not here today and y'all can't check it out. There were, and let me put it this way, there were at least two occasions where I did something wrong. And I knew it. I knew it. And I felt bad about it. Sometimes I felt worse about getting in trouble for it, but I still felt bad about it. But that's how God was. But then I came to the point where I realized that I am not good enough. There's no way I could be good enough to get to heaven on my own. And I knew that the answer was Jesus. I knew because I had been in Sunday school, I'd been in church, I'd been brought up in a good Christian home, and the Word of God had told me that the only hope for me was Jesus Christ. And so I knew at 8 years old at Royal Ambassador Camp at Pi Central Baptist Encampment out in West Texas, out by Alpine, Texas, I knew that night that tonight was the night I needed Jesus. And I wasn't going to leave until I had Jesus. And I went with an old man who had taken off a week of work to be out there with us boys. And he said, I went up to the campfire where he was standing, and he just took me off up to the side and said, what do you need? And I said, I just need Jesus. And he prayed with me right then and there to receive Jesus Christ. He took me just as I was. He will take you just as you are. Oh, but the good news is, he doesn't leave us there. He doesn't expect us to stay there, right? He says, now that I've got you, now that you've got me, now that we're in this partnership and we're in this relationship, now let's work on some things and let's improve your life. Let's improve your witness. Let's improve your effectiveness, because you've been made welcome into the kingdom. Now, let's go and welcome others into the kingdom. Folks, we are to be a welcoming church. Two of you agree. We are to be a welcoming church. Now, that, again, that looks messy sometimes. That looks ugly sometimes. That looks hurtful sometimes. But guess what? That's what God's called us to be. We need to be that kind of church. We need to be that kind of church. We can't make prejudgments on folks. If you're going to make a prejudgment on somebody, just know that they probably have done something wrong somewhere. Guess what? They're at the right place, because all of us have too. Amen. We're going to be a church that welcomes people. Yes, sir. We're going to be a church that studies the Word of God. Glory, yes, sir. We're going to be a church that gets to work. Double V3. That's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. Are you on board? Maybe today you're here and you feel guilty. Maybe you've been part of that, like I have at one point. Well, they just don't belong in our church. Our church doesn't need that type of people. Okay. Maybe you're there or you've been there and you need to repent of that today and say, you know what, God's called us to welcome all people. Maybe that's you today and you need to come and repent of that. Maybe you need to come and pray. You do that. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I am one of those people. And I realize today that I'm welcomed. That I'm welcomed in this church. I'm welcomed into the family of God. And I want to receive that today. Oh, if that's you, the Bible says that there is a party going on in heaven when just one receives Jesus Christ. And if that's you today, then today's your party day. Whatever your need is, our altar's going to be open. I'm going to be up here. Rebecca will be standing with me. If you'd like to come and pray with one of us, we're here. The altar is wide open. Zachary's going to lead us in a song or two. And let me encourage you. You know, you've seen some response this morning already, some people at the altar. This is a good place. It's a good place. It's not magical. It's no better place here than it is back there. But sometimes, we need to get moving, okay? Sometimes when we just sit and we say, oh, I need to change. I need to eat healthier. I'm going to sit right here, oh, and I'm going to think about eating healthier. I'm going to eat healthier, okay? It's different than when we actually get up and go and get rid of the old Little Debbie snacks out of the closet, right, and fill them up with some Nutri-Grain or some whatever that oatmeal horse feed, whatever. I don't know what it is, but it's different when we actually put feet to it and we say, I am committed and I'm doing this, and I get up and I go and do something. There's an importance when we put activity into motion. So maybe you need to come to the altar today. This is your time. Father in heaven, we love you. And Lord, we come before you today and we just say that you are God. And Lord, you are in control. You are the boss and the rescuer to this lost and dying world. And Lord, if we look at the statistics that are put out, churches are losing the battle. Father, I believe it's because they've become an unwelcome place. I believe it's because churches have become a country club type atmosphere, where you have to meet the certain requirements to be able to come and be a part of a church. Lord, let that not be us here at Dolan. May we be a welcoming church. Lord, I believe that before we can be effective in our community, we have to welcome our community. So, Lord, call us to be that kind of church. Lord, I pray that if there is someone here today that has received the welcome of Dolan Baptist Church and they have received the welcome that you have for them today, Father, that they would receive that and they would welcome that back and they would act upon it today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?